We want to keep those that are away from us tonight. From the lookout into the audience, there's a couple of us that are not here tonight. I guess this is one of those potentially excused absences since it's Mother's Day. I don't know about you, but this day is a special day of remembrance for me. And I think for all of us, if you're blessed to have a mom that is still alive, it's a wonderful opportunity to say thanks, Mom, and take her out to dinner or give her some flowers or something, just as a testimony of your appreciation of Mom. Those of us who have lost parents, especially Mom, since this is her day, we tend to spend today reflecting upon the relationship with Mom, the things that she's blessed us with over the course of our lives. No matter how early it was that she departed from our lives, we tend to have reason to give thanks to her. Got a text this afternoon. We have a big family, and so we have lost quite a few in our family over the course of the years. I lost a sister back in 2015 in Chicago, Illinois. She had lost a son about 8 years or so earlier, and they happened to be blessed to be in the same cemetery, Burr Oaks, there in Chicago, Illinois, where several other family members are buried. And so I get a text from one of her other sons, and he said, "Uncle, I just left the cemetery to visit Mom and Kevin, his brother." And he says, "I want you to know that there is 160 feet or 160 steps from Mom's place where she's buried to where Kevin is buried." And I thought that was significant. So I called him and we talked. And he said, "Yeah," he said, "I actually walked it off. It's 160 feet. And that just kind of reminds me of this special day of how all of us are just remembering and giving honor, if you will, to this wonderful, wonderful, special day, Mother's Day. We as a congregation have been using for a theme for this particular quarter, if you look on either side of the auditorium, the idea of His profound principles. And in preparation for the lesson tonight, I really thought about how God uses different tools, if you will, in His toolbox to really reiterate or to really drive home profound principles. And one of the tools that God has always used is this person that we call Mama or Mother. She is a source of so many profound principles in our lives. Many of us have lessened the chances of being sick because Mama drilled in our heads about the principle of washing your hands. Many of us have less cavities. We might still have some fillings, but we probably would have had more if we hadn't listened to Mom when she told us to brush our teeth. Many of us will have respect and be respected because she drove home that principle of saying yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Many of us are having better jobs or maybe even careers today because of the profound principle that Mom laid out for us, and that is to study hard or study well. Many of us are looking forward to retirement with a little bit more confidence because of Mom teaching us that principle about saving. Many of us today are better people because Mom drove home the point about reading your Bible and going to church. And those of us who grew up in denominationalism, it was going to Bible class. When I became a Christian, when I became a member of the church, it was not a challenge for me to go to Bible class. That principle had already been drilled into my head. And so I just go to Bible class. That's what you do. That's what you do. Whether I'm teaching or not, I go to Bible class. The proverbial writer in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, says something that's so profound that we mention all the time, and that is the idea of teach a child, especially the New Living Bible translation, says, teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain upon it. So teach a child to choose the right path, that profound principle, and when he is older, he'll remain upon it, or upon that path. We often learn, and again, this is a Sunday night and it's Mother's Day, and we might not have as many folk here as it would be if the Cowboys had played yesterday. But I want to look at some thoughts tonight and leave you with some thoughts, if you will. As mother, who is a source of profound principles. Mama, mother, a source of profound principles that's used by God to help us in our walk in this Christian way. If you look at your Bibles in Proverbs chapter 31, here's a proverb, if you will, here's a passage that oftentimes we have used, especially from the last part of Proverbs 31. Oftentimes we're familiar, we're starting with verse 10 in Proverbs 31, and that is the who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. But before you get down to verse 10, you got to go through verses 1 through 9. Listen to what is written about this person in Proverbs 31, starting with verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle or the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what the son of my womb? And what the son of my vows? And listen to her wisdom, to her son. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for the kings, O Lemuel, it is not for the kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink to them that are ready to perish. You got somebody on death row? Give them a strong drink. They won't feel the pain. And wine unto that to be of a heavy heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open your mouth, judge righteously, plead the case of the poor and needy. So this mother of a king here in Proverbs 31, 1 through 9, is giving instruction to her son who happens to be a king. Truly the blessing of motherhood. Motherhood. Often focused on the last few verses of this particular passage. But before you get down to the virtuous woman, God chooses to allow the accolades of a wise mother giving instruction to her son, who happens to be the king, to lead us into verse 10 about a virtuous woman. I've entitled the lesson tonight simply, Mother, a Source of Profound Principles. Not only in tune with our theme for this quarter, but also maybe pointing out some of the tremendous values that are given to us through this avenue of motherhood. Three observations, three thoughts, and then the lesson is yours tonight. When I think of motherhood, especially from a scriptural perspective, I think of three things. Number one, I think of this idea of partnership. Mothers are great partners. And let me tell you what I mean by that. I was listening to a presentation. I tried to give an illustration to our Bible class this morning, but I could just remember the general's last part of his last name, and that was Kranz. His first name is Rosecrans, and I finally figured it out after I left Bible class this morning. But an illustration was on one of these Civil War presentations about the value of partnerships. And they made a point about this particular major general, who was a great gifted strategist so far as war is concerned. And he was a real good friend of General Grant, who later will come on and become a president of the United States of America. But they had a wonderful relationship, and as long as that relationship, that partnership was thriving, they were very successful out on the battlefield. But as the course of time and as the war wore on, Chickamauga, I think, is one of the battles that this particular general lost. And as a result of that, tension began to form between him and Grant. Grant was, after that failure, Grant actually took over the Eastern campaign. And so he was in charge of all the military forces, had a direct line back to Abraham Lincoln. And Abraham Lincoln would write General Rosecrans and say, hey, I know you suffered a loss, basically, but you're good. But him and Grant began to part ways. The point of the lesson here is that as they went into a battle that could have possibly prevented the Civil War from lasting as long as it did, the American soldiers lost about 430,000 men. The Southern Confederates, they lost around 330 men, almost a million people lost in this war that could have been ended earlier. But what happened is Grant and Rosecrans began to stop talking to each other. Two generals out on the battlefield, and they're not talking. And so the messages going back and forth were sent through a mediator. So Grant would tell the mediator to tell another mediator to tell Rosecrans such. And Rosecrans would respond back telling this person to tell that person. And so finally they had the Confederacy at a very cross position. But they weren't talking to each other, and they allowed the Confederates to get away. And as a result of that particular battle, the lack of battle, the Civil War lasted additional time. The power of partnerships is clearly seen in this wonderful source that God gives us called motherhood. Listen to this. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God tells our original parents, the one that started this whole human experience thing, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Here is God telling Adam and Eve, right after they are created, I want you to form a partnership. And out of that partnership, life will come upon this earth. Life will continue upon this earth so long as I allow it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, to show how important this partnership is. God says when Adam here, as he goes back and rewrite, if you will, the creation story in more detail, in verse 18, the first negative in the Bible, says that it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him and help meet or help suited for him, a partner, if you will. And so therefore, chapter 3, verse 20, the scripture says Eve, because she was the mother, Adam calls her Eve because she was the mother of all living. What an interesting concept. Eve, mother as a partner along with Adam. She's a partner in creation. She's a partner in procreation. She's a partner in degradation. It is Eve that will be a part of the initial creation. God will make Adam, then from Adam he'll make Eve, the initial creation. And then she will be a part of procreation, where every child that is born after Adam gives birth to Eve, every child will come through this thing called motherhood. And then she will be there when sin first takes place. She'll be the one that will bite and give it over to her husband, and he bites, and the rest of us have been biting or being bitten ever since. Her life will be a life of being a partner, not only of man, but also of God Almighty. She will give birth to humanity through motherhood, and she will give birth to the humanity's Savior through motherhood as well. It is through a mother that Jesus Christ will come and give forth us redemption. It is through motherhood that you and I first experience life. So the profound principle here, so far as partnership, so far as this thing that God gives us as an example of the blessedness of partnership, is this wonderful person called mother. Mother. The profound principle is that partnership can cause life. The lack of partnership can cause death and destruction. Number two, not only is she a profound principle that comes forth out of a partnership, but this thing of motherhood is something that is about a protector. Mama is a protector. That which is of protecting is that which is of value. I want you to realize that through her partnership with the Creator, God causes her to protect that child for 9 months before the baby is born. 9 months. If my calculation is calculated correctly, that's like 3/4 of a year. She is not getting pregnant on Friday and delivering on Monday. God enables this mother to protect this child within her own body for 9 months. Profound principle. That which is of value, we need to protect. There is no way that this particular child is going to just be put out there. Before that child is actually born, he or she is going to have a close relationship with his or her mom. As a child grows and develops, if you've ever been in those latter weeks or latter months, if you will, of a mother about to give birth, you know that that child and mom began to react with each other. Maybe she'll tap her stomach and all of a sudden the child will reach up and tap back. Or maybe it would be the idea of when somebody else is speaking, the child is moving around, but when mama starts talking, the child is quiet because he recognizes, she recognizes mama's voice. Protection. Mom, the profound principle of being a protector. God also gets in on it. Not only does he create her body so that she can protect that child for 9 months, but if you look at Leviticus chapter 12, which I find extremely interesting, part of the law, Moses says that when a woman gives birth to a child, if it is a male child, then that mother is exempt from worship. She is declared unclean with the stipulation that she has now had a baby. And so for 40 days, she is exempt from worship except the eighth day. She has to, if it's a boy baby, she has to take the baby, and the baby is to be circumcised on the eighth day. But then for the remainder of that 40 days, she's out of worship. God says, I'm giving her that time to recover and to snuggle with the baby. 40 days for a boy child. That's incredible. That's incredible. And then when it comes to a girl, I find it extremely interesting because God doubles the time. 80 days. When a mother has a girl child, then God says in Leviticus chapter 12 that I'm going to give you 80 days to be with that child, to nuzzle with that child. You've cared her for 9 months. You've built a relationship. But once the baby is born, I'm going to give you 80 more days to connect with that child, to love that child, to caress that child, to heal also, but spending that time connecting with that baby girl. I oftentimes think that maybe the reason God gave twice as much time to nurture that little girl is because God realizes that that little girl is probably going to be the one nurturing her parents. So I'm going to give you something on the front end that will help you on the back end. Oh, y'all missed that, didn't you? Okay, all right. Boys tend to bring protection at the gate. Girls tend to bring protection in the home. Many of our caretakers, those that love us and be with us to support us, are typically going to be our young women, our sisters. Boys will say, yeah, I'm going to feed you, Dad. Can you catch a hamburger? The daughters come in and they tend to fix it and, you know, put some salad with it and some milk and cut it up for us. And, okay, enough of that. Okay, I'm a little bit partial to girls. So what you begin to see here, 80 days for girls, 40 days. Even in our own culture, in our culture today, there's this thing called FMLA, Family Medical Leave Act. And you have 12 weeks after a child is born, and that turns out to be 84 days. A lot of us under the old school had 6 days, or 6 weeks, I should say, and that was 42 days. Isn't it interesting? Leviticus 12, boys, 40 days. Girls, 80. We used to have 6 weeks, which is 42 days, and now we have 84 days for a boy or a girl. The bottom line is, we, as well as our great God, realize the protective nature that's given to motherhood to protect and to nurture. And that's something we see in Leviticus, as well as God's partnership both with our mother, as well as men and women partnering for the delivery of a child. So the point to King Lemuel, instruction from your mama. She taught him, my son, which talks about her ownership. I produce you. Son of my womb, that's about the partnership. Your dad and I produce you. Son of my vows, that talks about her commitment. And so here this woman who is a protector of King Lemuel, even after he's a king, she begins to tell him that you need to be strong, be clear, be compassionate, and be righteous. Just like I protected you, I want you now to be protective of the folk you have charge over. Motherhood, a source of profound principles. And so not only is partnership a blessing from the Lord, but also protection is our start in life. Isn't it great to know that none of us just got born and got kicked out onto the street like he writes about in the book of Ezekiel? We had a mother. And I know, you say, well, not me, man. I lost my mother like Benjamin in childbearing. That's the exception. I'm talking about for the general rule. Most of us had a mother that gave birth. And the beginning of our lives, there was some nurturing. There was some protecting. You want to get yourself in hot water, mess with a child of anything that's a mama. It could be a mama lion, a mama bear, a mama dog. You mess with that baby, you're going to get some trouble. With fishing, I was sure this, I'll go on to the last point. Fishing up in Anchorage, Alaska many years ago, and we're in a little stream. I can't remember the name of it, but there with my camera in one hand and fishing in the other hand. And all of a sudden, on the other side of the creek, there was a little baby bear. And I was fascinated. I'm going, hey, y'all, look, a bear. And all of a sudden, everybody comes up out of this stream. They head back to the cars. I hear cars starting. Vroom, vroom, and I'm going, what the heck is going on? I'm over here trying to take the picture. I tell my wife, I say, hey, take a picture with me in it. By this time, she got the kids, and they back in the car. And so finally, my father-in-law said, Ben, you need to understand something. Whenever you see a cub, mama ain't far away. All right, so you don't mess with baby, no matter what your intention is. You get close to a baby bear, you need to leave because mama is close by. Mother, a source of profound principles, not only as a partner, but also as a protector. And finally tonight, as one who provides provisions. Mama, milk, meal, and wisdom tends to be what you find at Big Mama's house. Provisions. Proverbs 31:15. Passage that even after we get after verse 10 and you're talking about a virtuous woman, if you look at Proverbs in verse number 15, Proverbs 31:15, watch how motherhood is intertwined. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her handmaiden or to her maidens. Drop down a little bit further to verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Drop down to verse number 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. So in the midst of this virtuous woman, we see the provisions of a godly mother to her children. Mothers, live out the name of Eve every day, mother of the living. The wisdom of mother does not stop at the front door as the children are leaving or when they go out on their own or when they start their own careers. No, ask Barack and Michelle about mothers in the White House. When they went to the White House, they had a van pull up. It not only had Barack and Michelle's stuff in it, but they had Mrs. Robinson's stuff in there also. Michelle's mom would have had Barack's mom there, but she's going on to glory. Motherhood, constantly providing. How about Meghan Markle? Her dad can't go to England. The royal police will arrest him before he gets off the plane. But look at some of those pictures, and her mama ain't far away. I wonder who's going to be keeping that little baby. I bet mama is going to have a hand in it because of the fact of motherhood. Provisions, always providing for our children. That's a mother. And those of us who have had moms that have lived up to this banner, we're gratefully blessed. And for those of us who did not have that, aren't we glad we're in Christ? Because Jesus promises us that you're not giving up anything, that I won't give you back a hundredfold. And so many of us have mothers that didn't go into the maternity room to deliver us, but they have helped us in our walk from this point forward. I remember Sister Lancaster in St. Louis, Missouri, after I obeyed the gospel. And we were traveling around, going to lectureships and whatnot, her and Brother and Sister Moore and myself, Brother Allen, who was the associate minister at the congregation at Wagner Avenue. And we're out on the road, and Sister Lancaster, I don't even know if she had kids or not, but she had me. New Christian, still wet behind the ears. As we stopped someplace and she would talk, she would school me as we went to the lectureship, all the big dogs, the mucky mucks, and she would kind of give me some insight. Well, that's Brother So-and-so, that's Brother So-and-so over there. Mothers do that. And if you mess with me, she would come after you because she had this protective nature about this new kid in Christ. Point I'm trying to make tonight is when you look at these profound principles that you and I are being shared with by our mothers, and then once we come into Christ, many of those profound principles are just reiterated with the wonderful word of the Lord. We don't get here by ourselves. We got here through the work of our mothers and through the nurture, and through the providing. How many mothers have those scars, those arthritic fingers, if you will, because of their providing for their children? And don't complain about it. There was an old song, I think, about Diana Ross, Mama, Mama, Can You Hear Me? Diana was singing because she didn't treat her mom right until after she was gone on to glory. So what's your point, preacher, tonight? I'm talking about motherhood as a profound principle. God says he's going to take care of us. And then all of a sudden we find out that he gives us this person called a mother. The day is her day. We acknowledge her this day. But every day of our lives, the blessing of a mother comes through clear for us. Somebody that loved us. How many pictures do we see of these beautiful babies? You mentioned to a mom that's holding a child. She said, that's all, I got a bunch of pictures. Isn't he or she so cute? And you're going, let's step outside because I'm not supposed to lie in the building. That's a mother. Protective. Protective. Skint knees tend to necessitate a call or view from mama. In that passage about in Proverbs chapter 31, I think it's the Living Word translation, it says that she teaches Lumiel upon her knee. I'm thinking about other passages like in Ephesians and others where fathers are told, don't provoke your children to wrath. What I find kind of interesting is that fathers tend to get in the child's face. Mothers put them on their knee. What a concept. As a partner. Mothers can't have babies without dads. But this mother that God uses entrusts with the procreation of life is something that God sees as a profound principle. And God, sister, chose you to be the one that will house this little child and be a partner with him for the procreation of life itself. What a blessing. What a blessing. We're not going to draw lines and say who gives the best effort. We're partners. And if dad does his job right, mom's work is going to be a little easier. We can't help you with the birth pains, okay? I'm telling you that right now. But we're going to be walking down there with you. We'll go get you something cool to drink or whatever the case might be. We'll do what we need to do. But the bottom line is God chose you to entrust with life. But you're following a good leader, and her name is Mary. Shelton mentioned it this morning in Sunday morning service of how God, out of all these young girls, He selected Mary and he entrusted her with the Savior of the world. We entrust you mothers with the procreation capacity to secure our world. Without you, there is no next generation. We're pretty smart, but we haven't come up with that one yet of how we can produce life without you. You're such a blessing. You're part of God's profound principle to help us to understand how important partnership is, how important it is to protect those that we care about, and finally, how important it is to provide nourishment so that we can continue to grow and to flourish. If you're here tonight, appreciating the wisdom of God, a God that has taken all of this strategic time to develop this idea of motherhood, how can you say no to him? He's done so much for us. Before we came to America, God has blessed us with this journey through the womb into production. How can you say no to him? How can you say no to somebody who, isn't it interesting that once the child is born, somehow mom already is ready to feed the baby? Who will come up with that? Her body is able to be elastic enough to hold these 55,000 pounds that before birth. I don't want to scare some of you young sisters off from having babies. I'm exaggerating just a little bit, okay? But God made your body with his drafting capacity in Genesis 1 to be able to be sufficient to produce this child. In psychology, one of the things we've learned, and that is women have the capacity typically to have a wide spectrum of emotions. We guys have it also, but not like women do. I believe that a lot of it goes back to this role as a mother. Because when you're dealing with this unborn child, one day you might feel fine, but the baby ain't doing so well. They got colic or whatever. They're coughing or sneezing inside. You know, you get the idea of what I'm trying to say here. You have this relationship. You know how the child is doing. And you have this bond. And when the child comes, they might be upset, but give them to mama. Their heartbeat is on the same level as your heartbeat. They're in tune with you. And you have to be sensitive to them. How do you feel today? Oh, the baby's doing okay. You ask dad. Dad said, well, everything's fine. Everything's cool. Mom says, baby didn't sleep so well last night. Or you get the idea. In tune. Why? Because God created you as a partner with him to preserve and deliver life in this world. What a God we have. Wouldn't it be wonderful to serve that God, to be a part of his family, to have the one that a mother produced to take away all of our sins? Wouldn't it be wonderful to serve a God like that? You have that chance tonight. Hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sins. Confess the great name, yes, Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. Trusting him, going down in the water grave of baptism. And let me tell you something. If he can anticipate all the things like a child would need, like milk from the mother, I guarantee you he can anticipate all the stuff that you might have to go through in this life, and he'll be out in front of you before you even get to that corner. If you're subject to heaven's invitation tonight in any way, won't you please come where we together stand and sing the song invitation. Through all my trials. My effort this evening is really to lift up the honor of motherhood and to see how it is not something detached from God's will. a lot of the principles that you and I have in our lives, washing our hands, brushing our teeth, are originated from this woman, this gift from God that taught us so many years ago. May we see if a God that is involved in a partnership with this wonderful person called a mother, that God is involved in protecting life even from the beginning, that God is involved in the provisions of that life. If we turn that into the spiritual realm, how blessed we are to have a God like we do. May God bless us to continue to honor motherhood, not just today, but on an ongoing basis for the rest of our lives. Let us say thank you, God, for this wonderful gift that you've given us. May we entrust our service to you and our support of motherhood because of this choice that you made so many times ago because of being a partner with our mother. God bless you. Hope it was helpful tonight. God bless you.